Add WFAN to your contacts to talk New York sports with us at 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
We got 1 hour down on our Monday morning. Another three to go. Take it till 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. Baseball to start the show. We are monitoring anything in the NBA. If anything happens, we'll be sure to let you know. Alex on the other side will be monitoring the NBA stuff just to make sure I don't miss any while I blabber on. But let's talk about Aaron Judge for a second, can we? Because I've been dying to talk about Aaron Judge. Can I talk about him? Can I finish? I got to talk about Aaron Judge because this guy... It's getting scary. It's getting scary how good Aaron Judge is. And obviously we got a scare the other day with Soto, who is his running mate right now. And the two of them are so important to this team. We know it, right? We know right now Volpe's struggling, and we're going to get in a second on maybe changing the lineup. But Volpe is struggling. Gleyber and LeMahieu are just hopefully coming out of it. Ben Rice actually looks pretty damn good. And giving you some pretty good at-bats here at first base, which makes you really feel like I can live at first base with him, and then if Rizzo comes back on some level, and I'd rather go out and attack a third baseman. But, I mean, we know what the rest of this lineup is, and the fact that they still continue to pitch the Judge at all boggles my mind. Like, I have to admit, in the first inning, Soto gets on with a base hit, so there's one on and a man on first. Walk him. Like, honestly, walk him. It's crazy to me that they throw him fastballs in the heart of the plate. Right now, he's not missing. And he hits one off the batter's eye. Like, you cannot pitch to the man. He is getting better. There is no doubt in my mind. He is better now than he's ever been. It's scary. Look at the numbers he put up in May. And in May, it was crazy, right? He had this terrible April. He puts up these ridiculous numbers in May, and he follows it up with an even better April. A better June. He's been unbelievable. He's hitting .316. He's hitting .316. He's got 31 home runs and 82 RBIs before July. I mean, the guy is an absolute beast in the middle of a lineup that is struggling woefully. Now, I know they've put up some runs here. They scored 7 the other night. He was responsible for 5 of them. They scored 16 in the one real just absolute, you know, blowout game. And then, you know, last night they scored some runs. He's accounted for the first two. But, I mean, and Gleyber Torres is come around here. But how could you do anything other than walk Aaron Judge? It makes absolutely no sense to me. I'm sorry. There is no circumstance right now. First inning, fifth inning, certainly late in the game. Why in the world? With Verdugo, I know he got robbed of a home run from Kiermaier, so maybe, you know, he got two hits in the blowout game, robbed of a home run last night, maybe yesterday, maybe he's starting to turn around. But, I mean, there is no one in this lineup that scares you outside of him and Soto. No one. And what he's doing right now is, I mean, this is like someone put up the stats. Mike Trout has won 3 MVPs. Prior to the last 2 years, because of Trout's injury history and what Judge has done, if you would have asked any baseball fan, who's the best player of this generation? It's Mike Trout. It's not even close. It's Mike Trout. What he has done through June are Mike Trout MVP numbers. These are Bryce Harper MVP numbers. And I joke, you know, if the guy who was Bryce Harper's dad and was arguing with me about how great Bryce Harper is and he's right there with Aaron Judge, you want to call me up and show me Bryce Harper's MVP numbers when he won the MVP. In fact, let's do it real quick. Bryce Harper... when he won the MVP, in 2021. In 2021, Bryce Harper won the MVP. He hit 309. He had 35 home runs and drove in 84 runs. 35 and 84. He hit 309, and he had an OPS of 1.04. That's Judge's season right now. He's got four more home runs. He had four more home runs than Judge. He drove in two more runs than Judge has driven in already. Judge has a six points higher on his batting average, and his OPS is superior to Harper's. Like, no joke. Harper's 2021 MVP season has already been put up by Aaron Judge, and today is July 1st. That is insane. That is insane. This guy is on another level. It's crazy. We've never seen, I'm sorry, we have never seen anything. I don't care who it is. I don't really want to upset all the old timers here. I don't. I mean, he's Mickey Mantle. He is. He's Mickey Mantle. He's incredible. He's on another level. It's scary how good the dude is. I have never seen anything like this. I know I said he's the best player since Bonds, and I got a bunch of Yankee fan callers. Alex, what about Alex Rodriguez? What about Alex Rodriguez? You saw Alex Rodriguez in a Yankee uniform. You saw him play. We saw his whole career. Was he ever like this where you can't pitch to him? Was there ever a moment? I know the lineup was better when Alex Rodriguez played. That's even more impressive in some ways. But would you ever have dreamed of just walking Alex in every big spot? We saw him play. Great player, MVP player, twice over as a New York Yankee. He was nothing like this. Nothing. Pales in comparison. It's crazy. And then that leads me to him and Soto and maybe breaking them up. I've been thinking a lot about the Yankee lineup, and I mentioned the other day, I think it was Friday, I talked about the idea of possibly switching them just to give Judge the benefit of a little bit of, you know, protection and someone behind him who's a good hitter. Now, on some level, you could argue walk both of them. But I don't know if that's altogether. I don't know if people want to put two guys on base. So if you put Judge up second and then put Soto up third, it does give him some protection in the lineup. You know, and Soto, again, Soto's game is so much predicated on the walk. Like, yes, Soto can hit home runs, as he did the other day. Yes, Soto can drive in runs. Yes, Soto can get hits. Yes, Soto's a great player. All of that. OPS, batting average, home runs. He's a great hitter. He's a Hall of Fame caliber talent. He's incredible. But walking is so much a part of his game that I don't know if I'm okay with him walking if there's no one to protect him. I want to have that hitter in front of Judge. So I've been thinking about that. Then I was also thinking about something else as Volpe struggles. Because you know, I got in trouble from a lot of you. I said a month ago when LeMahieu first came back, if LeMahieu was going to prove himself to be the player he was at the second half of last year, I want to lead him off. Now, he clearly hasn't. He's been terrible. So I haven't said another word about it because he hasn't proven to be anywhere near good enough to warrant hitting leadoff. But as Volpe struggles now, and this is a prolonged struggle, and his numbers are coming back to reality. He's hitting 260. His OPS is just over 7. Like, he has not been, it's been an elongated slump here after that hitting streak. I think hitting Soto leadoff is not the craziest thing. It worked with Lindor, and not that you need to get Soto going, but having that type of player at the top of the order with his on-base percentage plus his power on, you know, at the top of the order, you might not want to walk Juan Soto. You might get him more pitches to hit. I don't know if it's crazy. Like, right now, if I were putting the lineup for tomorrow, I think I might put Soto, Glaber, Judge would be my top three. Because if Glaber's going to get going here, if Glaber's going to get hot, what better spot in the lineup than putting him behind Soto in front of Judge? He is going to get nothing but fastballs. You put the best on-base percentage guy in baseball leading off. You put the guy you want to get going second, whoever that may be. You can rotate that second spot to a guy who's either hot, a guy who you're trying to get fastballs to. If like, I don't know if I'd put Stanton there, but like any other player, if Verdugo is like starting to turn around or you want to turn Verdugo around and try and get him going, you could put Verdugo second. Like, use that second hole as a spot to try and get the important guys in the lineup going. You could put LeMahieu there. Any of those guys work in the two hole in front of Judge and behind Soto. It can almost be like a rotating get right spot. Because I can't imagine a better place to hit. It would be the best position in all of baseball. To hit two behind Soto in front of Judge, there is not a better lineup position in any team in the league to get fastballs and get going. You're going to have a guy who gets on base more than anybody else in baseball in front of you and the greatest hitter we've seen since Barry Bonds circa 2003 and 4 behind you. It's perfect. It's the best spot to hit in the world. You could put Volpe there if you want to get Volpe going. Whoever you deem, it can be a rotating spot to either put your hot hitter in big games or put a guy you're trying to get going who's showing you glimpses, or a guy who's really scuffling you want to get fastballs for. Like, it can be used as a rotating get right. I love that idea. I think it's perfect. So right now with Glaber in these games, Tuesday night, my lineup, Soto, Glaber, Judge, Rice, Volpe. That would be my lineup. And try and get Glaber really locked in. 888-808-1019. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. We'll continue to take your phone calls and take you all the way to 5 o'clock when the warm-up show will come your way. Again, monitoring the NBA stuff. We'll get to the Giants. And looking forward to Hard Knocks. I am. I'm looking forward to it. I joke about the Daniel Jones stuff. And as much as I rack on and get on Daniel Jones, I like Daniel Jones. And I think Daniel Jones is a talented thrower of the football, and I think he's capable of doing, you know, things in this league. I think he's a starter in this league, and I think sometimes he gets grossly, grossly underrated. I mean, he's put on list as the 30th, the 28th best quarterback in the NFL. That he is not. But is he someone I can trust as a Giant fan? No, he isn't. And I'll be fascinated because I have a feeling they're going to try their damnedest to make me believe. I think that's going to be a lot of the show. Giants have editorial control, and I think a lot of the show is going to be about Daniel Jones. I don't know why. In the first minute, I saw Daniel Jones. There's no way they're going to mention anything bad about him in the draft and what they were thinking. Never going to see it. It sounds like you might see some stuff about Saquon Barkley because now Saquon Barkley is not here, and anything that could possibly make him look bad, I'm sure they'll do. But I am looking forward to it because I've talked about this a lot. Baseball is different. Even basketball is different than football. Football is a once-a-week extravaganza. You know exactly what you're doing on Sunday. Football season, Sunday is borderline become a religion. You know exactly where you're going to be. You know exactly what you're going to do. 2 days before Sunday, by Friday, you know exactly what you're going to eat. You have it all laid out, and you're there all day. You watch football all day, whether the Giants are at 1, whether the Giants are at 4, Sunday night, Monday night, Thursday night, whatever. Like, you know what you're doing. You watch the game, that's it. Okay, yes, the coach will speak after the game. For me, especially if the Giants are at 1, I move right on from the post game. I barely watch it. I have to watch it, you know, for what we do here. So I'll go back and watch it later. But for the most part, boom, I'm right on to the 4 o'clock games. I feel more disconnected from your football team than any other team. Like, if you're a diehard sports fan and you're a diehard baseball fan, a diehard NBA fan, a diehard football fan, like, it's harder to feel as connected to your football team who plays 17 games a year as opposed to a baseball team who plays 17 games in 3 weeks. there's just more content. There's more around the team. There's more post-game. And especially with baseball, there's more individual battles. Like, you see Judge every single, you see what his stats are currently. You see him stand up there. You see him versus the pitcher. Like, it's different than football. So I welcome the idea. And I understand that the Giants organization probably doesn't love it, didn't want to do it, has never done Hard Knocks before. But I welcome the idea to be a fly on the wall and feel like I might get to know my players a little bit more, or get to really get a feel for a Giant team, or, you know, immerse myself in their world and get a feel for them. I welcome that opportunity, because I think over the course of the year it can be hard to. We're focused on our fantasy football teams. Like, it's a different element. As much as I'm not saying you don't love your team, you don't watch every second, you don't read stories, you don't follow up, you don't go on the website, see the videos, listen to John Schmelk, all of it. I'm sure you do as Giant fans. But it's impossible to be as connected as a team that plays every single day. So I welcome the opportunity. I'm looking forward to the show coming out Tuesday night.
This happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
The most successful team in the history of professional sports. Starting the new millennium, the New York Yankees are once again world champions.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
So, you know, I talked about this yesterday morning, but I wanted to bring it back up again because, you know, nobody ever thinks I criticize the Yankees or Aaron Boone. Well, I've never been more angry at Aaron Boone than I was yesterday. Oh, I'm sorry, Saturday. In that loss, following that win, following the first win when they scored all those runs against Toronto, that Saturday game, he did something that I deem inexcusable. And I don't understand his thought process. And I'm not sure, I saw the post game. I didn't see if anybody even asked him this. But in the middle of that game, in the sixth inning, the Yankees are down, right? The Yankees are down 4-1 with Bickford on the mound, right? And IKF, who is absolutely killing them in the series, comes up. And he lets Bickford pitch to him, and he throws one of the worst 0-2 fastballs I've ever seen. It is right down the middle, 0-2. Just right down the middle. Now, I would have taken him out for IKF, okay? I would have taken him out for IKF, but he leaves him in there for IKF. He gets a base hit on the worst 0-2 fastball, scores only one run, making it 5-1. And up comes Vladimir Guerrero, who, even worse than IKF, has absolutely torched the Yankees and hit a home run in every game. He's on fire, can't get him out. And he brings in Ferguson, the left-handed pitcher, to face Vladimir Guerrero. Now, normally, as many of you would probably tell me, I would go, hey, who else are they going to throw? You're not going to throw one of your better relievers. And right now, let's be honest, they have Tompkin, Weaver, and Holmes that you kind of trust, and maybe Canely working his way there. But I'm not going to throw one of those guys who I might need in the next game, down 4 runs in the sixth inning. I understand going to Ferguson, but not that day. Because that game, Clay Holmes hadn't worked in 5 days. He hadn't worked in 5 days. And Clay Holmes was going to pitch in that game no matter what. And he came in the eighth inning when the game was already a blowout, because guess what? Ferguson, despite making a pitch that was practically in the dirt on a breaking ball, somehow Vladimir Guerrero golfed it and hit a line drive right down the third baseline and rolled into the corner and cleared the bases for a 3-run double. And so the game was then out of reach by the time they went to Clay Holmes in the eighth. If you are going to pitch Clay Holmes anyway, why in the world would you not bring him in when the game still matters, when the game is still on the line? Bring him in to get out Vladimir Guerrero with the bases loaded in the sixth to keep it a 4-run deficit. normal circumstances, if he pitched the day before, sure, I get it. You don't want to waste him for tomorrow, where even if he does his job, you're down four runs. But if you're going to pitch him anyway, why not pitch him when it matters? Why allow Ferguson, who's been terrible this year, to face one of the premier right-handed hitters, and certainly now the way he's going, one of the premier right-handed hitters in the league? Why would you allow that to happen instead of going to Clay Holmes there when you know you're going to use him anyway? The game is on the line in that moment. I couldn't understand it to save my life. And then to see Clay Holmes trot out there in the eighth inning of a blowout, I'm like, well, now, great. He's going to get some work in. Great. This is not an ordinary game. They're absolutely getting killed. They're in the middle of this stretch where they can't buy a win. They've lost 11 of 15 at the time. They're falling apart. You got our starting pitchers can't go more than three innings without giving up six, seven runs. Rodon's falling apart. Luis Gil is hitting a wall. Up until yesterday, the ace is still working his way back. You got Stroman yelling at people. You got Rodon pissed off at Ben Rice. You got the whole thing falling apart. You just had a big win. You're trying to sustain some sort of momentum. The game is on the line. You're going to throw your closer anyway. Why not do it while the game is still there to be had? That was, for me, that's the most angry I've been at Aaron Boone since he's been the manager. Oh, that's not true. When they pulled that nonsense with Davey Garcia and Jay Happ in the 2020 playoffs, that's the most angry I've been with Aaron Boone. That's almost a fireable offense. The other day just really pissed me off because it makes no sense to me. If you're going to pitch him, pitch him. So Aaron Boone's not, you know, void of mistakes. He makes them from time to time. And that one really bothered me because they needed to keep the momentum. They needed to keep winning. And yesterday was an enormous win for them. And Gerrit Cole had to come out and give them that kind of performance. It was a must. And you got the early lead from Judge, and then you got Cole. And thankfully, that's what they needed desperately. But, like, I still need to see, you got to see more. And Gleyber Torres, I believe in Gleyber Torres, always have. And to watch him do things like take a two-strike fastball and shoot it through the hole between first and second is almost as important as the home run. He needs to get back to his two-strike approach. He needs to get back to what he was at the end of last year. He needs to be that player for the New York Yankees desperately. Or, you know, this lineup, I don't know how many bats you can add. And DJ LeMay is coming around too. It's, you know, hopefully this can be the start. They're going to go play a below average team in Cincinnati. And hopefully this, you know, these three games can actually, you know, start to buoy them in the right direction. As last night against Texas, the Baltimore Orioles fell. So now they're back tied in the standings for first place. And hopefully they can go about trying to overcome the Baltimore Orioles, who they will face right before the trade deadline. Right before the All-Star break. And that is going to be an enormous series. That is going to be a huge series, that series leading into the All-Star break. They desperately need to figure something out and start playing better against the Baltimore Orioles, who they clearly are measured against. 888-808-1019. 888-808-1019. Still nothing on the NBA front. We haven't heard any other news, have we?
Kelly Oubre staying with the Sixers.
Okay, Oubre staying with the Sixers. All right, so the Sixers are kind of the team to watch right now. After Paul George's, after Paul George and the Clippers could not come to a contract, he's a free agent. It's expected he's going there. They've already signed Harden. You know, they have Embiid. Let's be honest, right? Knicks fans, right now, as we fancy ourselves as the second best team in the East, which, bar none. I mean, you'd have to search high and far to find a Knicks fan who doesn't feel that way right now. The optimism is through the roof, and rightfully so. I mean, whatever Net fans want to say about Mikal Bridges now, that he's a loser, you know, he's this, he's that, everyone wants to badmouth him. I understand he left, he wanted out, sure. He's only the sixth or seventh guy who's done that in the last year. But, sure, he could have stayed, sure. He could have not made demands to go with his buddies and be a third fiddle on the New York Knicks team. And maybe that does speak a little bit about how he feels about himself, his game, or what his desires are. But I think it's the one place he'd be willing to do that. But having said that, with Bridges, with bringing back OG Anunoby, with hopefully a healthy Randall and a healthy Brunson, we expect this team and this roster, as deep as it is, that you add Hart, you add DiVincenzo, you add Deuce, you feel as good about the depth of this roster and the length of this roster as much as any team in the East, this side of the Celtics. So right now, yeah, these Knicks fans, we're riding high. We're getting ready for the start of the year. This is going to be the most hyped Knicks season in forever. I mean, you got to go back 25 years. The last time the anticipation for a Knicks season is going to be at a fever pitch the way it will be for the start of this year. It's going to be different. Even last year, I mean, there was some enthusiasm, but it wouldn't have felt like this. Like, this is really where, like, they added, you know, all these pieces. They add Bridges. You know, they bring everybody back for the most part. We'll see what happens with Hartenstein. But right now, you feel like you can conquer the world. But let's be fair. As much as most Knicks fans didn't want Paul George and are probably happier with the idea they got Bridges, Paul George can still play. I mean, Paul George is still an excellent player. He's still a very good two-way player. He might not be in the absolute prime of his career, and staying healthy is a concern for everybody. But if you add him to this mix, I'm obviously Harden re-signed with the... Did I say... Yeah, Harden re-signed with the Clippers, obviously, not the 76ers. But if you add him to Embiid, and if Maxey is going to continue to progress and become the player that we saw firsthand in the postseason. I mean, and now you have Paul George, you have Embiid, and you have Maxey, and now Oubre is staying, and they'll probably look to make another move or two. I mean, that's a pretty damn good roster. Plus, now you have a healthy Giannis and a Dame in Milwaukee. It's not going to be this cakewalk. Right? I'm still not there with the, you know, maybe it's just because I'm bitter, but the Pacers, I think they would have made it through the Pacers if everybody stayed healthy. But this Eastern Conference that felt so easy for the Boston Celtics, which, by the way, no doubt, they had as easy a run to the NBA Finals as you could have. Doesn't change the fact that they did it rather easily. I mean, no series went further than five on their way to an NBA championship. I mean, they dominated. But yes, right? Considering injuries, considering everything that happened, they played a Miami team without Jimmy Butler. They played a Pacers team who then Halliburton got hurt. Like, it was a very ho-hum, matter-of-fact, all the way to the NBA Finals and then even into the championship. But this Eastern Conference, just because it had that kind of thing because of injuries, I mean, if the 76ers add Paul George, that's going to be some battle with them. And then clearly, we all know how good, although they missed Holiday, clearly, and he obviously was a huge addition for Boston. Boston, Milwaukee, 76ers will still be the three teams right there that we went into this season thinking were better than the Knicks. And now we just might go in thinking, hey, we're right there with those other two. But, I mean, just to assume the Knicks are the second best team in the East. Yeah, I'm going to do it anyway. They're the second best team in the East. Let's get to the phones, 888-808-1019. Let's go to Eddie in Bridgeport. What's up, Eddie?
Yo, Chris, what's good, man?
What's up, brother? Good, how are you?
Very good. I'm a big Mets fan, and let me preface by saying this, that you're one of the Yankee fans that I respect on the station, but I don't get your take on this concert thing.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. And I like the Mets a lot. And part of the whole Grimace thing and all this stuff is that it takes away on some level, not a really meaningful level, but it takes away some level of just, hey, the Mets are playing great baseball. It's not about Grimace. We're asking the first question to Nimmo on the field after winning an enormous game is, hey, you guys are undefeated since Grimace. I'm like, it's so stupid.
I agree. With the Grimace thing, I agree with you. I just don't get the concert. The dude, The dude is an artist.
Yeah.
Looks like his teammates are buying in.
Oh, no doubt.
And him being an artist, and it's kind of like a fun thing with them. I had no problem with it.
It looked ridiculous.
And I'm an older dude. I'm an older dude, and I get it. But still, this I didn't have any problem with.
I hear what you're saying. It looked hokey. It looked bad. It looked silly. All of them just like, you know, clapping and dancing on the mound with him singing. And I wasn't even sure if he was singing. It looked like he was lip syncing. It looked hokey. It looked, I don't know. It just looked bad.
I don't think they disrespected anybody.
No, I don't think they disrespected anybody. 100%. I disagree with anyone who thinks that they disrespected the game of baseball or disrespected the Houston Astros, who disrespected the game of baseball, let's be honest. I have no problem. I don't think this sparked the Astros. I don't think they said, oh, you want to sing on our graves? We're going to come back and get, like, I don't think that had anything to do with it. What I think is that there's a limit to how, like, you got the Grimace thing. You got now the song playing during the home run. Fine. You got this. It just seems a bit much on firework night after you won a baseball game. What would have happened if they lost? Were they waiting for their next win to do it? Or were they going to do it that night for firework anyway?
I think they would. He just released the song.
You think if they lost the game, they would have been out there celebrating, singing, and dancing?
Nah, I wouldn't have been celebrating. They're celebrating their teammates. It's still a regular season game. It's still a game in June. This is not September.
A loss
would have been crippling. It doesn't matter.
You can't lose a game and then go out there and sing and dance and party and dance and, you know, if you're Pete Alonso, clap off beat. Like, you can't do it. You can't do it off a loss.
I get it. Hey, quick question. Brett Beatty.
Yes.
He's going to get called back up.
I don't know.
I think what they did to Vientos, they're doing to Beatty. And if they just give him a chance, I know he had a chance. I thought he played a better defensive.
No doubt. He was actually really good defensively at third base this year.
I think the kid has tremendous potential. He's a big kid. He's a strong kid. I think he was in his head a little bit, but I think that, you know, this up and down sometimes, you know, I mean,
what are you going to do with him?
Syracuse.
Yeah, he's a quadruple A player. There's no doubt he's better than triple A. The question is he good enough for the major leagues? But where do you play him? You can't sit Vientos a day.
Well, here's the thing. My thing, it won't happen. I've always thought he is a DH. Let's be real. His defense is shaky at first base. I've always thought maybe.
And what about J.D. Martinez?
Vientos might be a better first baseman and Beatty at third. It's not going to happen. But that might be the way it should happen because Pete Alonso is not a good defensive first baseman. Let's be real.
I disagree. I mean, not good. He's not really, really good. He's not great. He's not Gold Glove caliber, but he's not hurting.
You talk about his goofiness. You see his goofiness sometimes at first base.
I mean, sometimes, but I think he's okay. He's not hurting you. I think he's a more than capable first baseman. But you got DJ Martinez is your JD Martinez. Excuse me. Is your
Yeah,
DH.
No, that's what I'm saying. That's why, like in the minors, they put Brady at second base. I don't think that's a fit because he's such a big boy. You're better off probably sticking him in the outfield, maybe right field or something. I don't know how good his arm and getting him reps there. But he's a big boy. What is he? He's about 6'4", somewhere around there.
Yeah.
And he's going to play second base. I don't see it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know so much about his size. We're seeing that change. O'Neill Cruz is really big for Pittsburgh, and he's playing shortstop. We're starting to see a little bit more of that, but the point is, O'Neill Cruz is an athletic dude. Yeah, I understand that, but that's shortstop. I think Beatty could play second base. I just don't think he's had enough reps where they trust him at major league level second base. I hear you on some level. Like, I get you. Beatty has shown that he's too good for minor league baseball. And on some level, you want to get him some run. But at the expense of whom? Like, right now, they are playing their best baseball. They just had a June, and compared to last year's June swoon, they just had a phenomenal June. Their team OPS is the highest for any month in Mets history, they said on the broadcast. They're killing it. Who do you want him to play instead of? You can't play him over Vientos. I don't care. Lefty, righty, I don't care. You can't be a platoon. I mean, what's better for Beatty? To be called up and play once a week? or to be down in AAA gaining confidence in bats. I don't know. But who am I playing him over? Not playing him over Pete, not playing him over J.D. Martinez. Where am I playing him? I could play him at second, but I don't think he's ready defensively at second. But you're right, he could DH once a week. He could play third base once a week. I mean, if you want to do it that way, that gets him 3 days a week. DH one day, third base one day, first base one day, or I mean, I don't know. I don't even know if you could play him at first, but I'm not bringing up Beatty to play him twice a week, and I can't play him more than that. Not right now. Why would I mess with this? I'm not messing with this. I'm not touching this offense. Not touching it. It's on fire. It's pummeled everyone in its path. It's the nothing right now. A Trayu is running from the Mets offense right now. That's how, I mean, it's just a force. And I'm not bringing up Beatty or anybody else to change it up. No way. I ain't messing this thing up. And again, I'm not saying that the song is bad. And I'm not saying that they can't enjoy the thing. I had no problem with the videos of them at the whatever it was party at Citi Field when they're all in plain clothes at one of the like the events at Citi Field. Great. Love it. Love the signs. Love everything about it. The optics of that concert was this is corny. There's no other way to put it. That's all. Watching it, it was just corny. And now it's led to two losses. And so people are going to question whether or not the Mets have got ahead of themselves, whether or not the Mets, you know, went too far, whether or not this is something that now either sparked the... I don't believe any of that, that it sparked the Astros. The Astros are the best team in baseball for a decade. The Astros have been to, what, 7 or 8 consecutive ALCSs. The Astros have won 2 championships, and they have owned the American League. They don't need any secondary motivation. I think that's absolute garbage. But there's just something about it when the team looks like, why is it always got to be about something else? Like Bernie Williams played the guitar. Can you imagine Bernie Williams going out and playing the guitar and the entire Yankee team after a win going out on the field and listening to Bernie play the guitar? Like, right, there's that famous video of him playing the guitar and Paul O'Neill on drums. Do you think they'd wheel those instruments out so that Paul O'Neill and Bernie can play a song for everybody and that, you know, Derek Jeter can clap along to it? 98 Homer Bush be there all excited? I it just seems silly. And watching it was just, it made me laugh. And especially with the good cameras of the... And the up-close cameras of the Apple TV broadcast, it just was like, what are they doing? Why would they do this? Go in the dugout and sing the song. Play it every chance you get. Put out a dumb video, like the Super Bowl Shuffle or something. I don't know, but don't go on the field and lip-sync and have Pete Alonso there, you know, dancing. It just looked ridiculous. I'm sorry, it looked ridiculous. It looked absolutely ridiculous. And if you don't like this, tough. I'll tell you that right now, Mets fans. You don't like this comment. You don't like these. You don't like me. Anyone not liking the concert. Tough. You brought this on yourself. You want to wrap yourself in a Grimace costume. You want to make everything about the Grimace Mets. You want to have a lot of fun with it. This is what happens. You lose a couple games. You have a dumb concert. We get to kill you for it. That's how it works. You want to wrap yourself up in purple. When Pete Alonso's clapping off beat and the rest of the team just looks like, it's hard to explain, and it looks like a crappy music video is being filmed, I'm going to get you.
Speak your mind. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
I just saw that Zach Wilson got engaged. Congratulations to Zach Wilson. Got engaged to girlfriend Nicolette Delano in Italy. Ugh, I better not show my wife this. My wife is pushing to go to Italy bad. Her family, obviously her father was born in Italy, and they've always talked about doing a trip to go back to Italy. And I've been to Italy with, and I was, you know, she's never been, and I've been, and she's furious about that. Every time Italy comes up, it's a negative thing. We actually had a funny thing on Saturday. We went to my cousin's daughter's fifth birthday, and it was at the house, and her husband's family is Romanian, and they're big into soccer. And so we went there, and on the television was the Euro Championship. Is that, am I saying it correctly?
Yeah, the Euros.
I know. The Euros. Having some fun. So the Euros, and Italy was playing, I think they were playing Sweden. I think, or Spain.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
Spain. My son said Sweden, but I thought he was wrong. Anyway, I think it was Spain. And they were down 2-0. And he just kept saying to my wife, he's like, Italy stinks, Mom. And she's like, no, they won the whole thing last year. They don't stink. They stink. And I just kept saying, make sure to tell Nono the next time you see him that Italy stinks. And she's like, don't you say that. My kid, tell him. Oh, my God. They stink, Mom. He just, but you know, that's, he sits down. The Yankees are down 2-0. He's like, oh, my God, the Yankees stink, Dad. I'm like, shut up. It's been 2 weeks. But yeah, so every time Italy comes up, it's when are we going? Gotta go. The whole family's gotta go to Italy. Well, and then I always start, well, you know, Rome was beautiful, but I don't know. That's the same trip that I saved the woman's life in Nuremberg, Germany, which I will tell you about one day. And if you people are going to not call me like this, I will tell you right now. I'm threatening you with that. But, I mean, yeah, the Euros were on the television and Italy was getting killed. But, yes, Zach Wilson, congratulations. He just got engaged in Italy. Very nice. See how it goes for him in Denver. Thank God we don't have to watch him anymore. And we'll see about Daniel Jones. And speaking of the NFL, I talked about this the other day. This big suit that the NFL lost, and I have to pay $14 billion to the subscribers of the NFL Sunday Ticket from 2011 to 2018. Unfortunately, I was not, but a member. But hey, listen to me now. Go check it out. As far as I know, I don't know if you had to have already signed up for this class action thing or anything. I don't know how it works. But Mike Florio is reporting that obviously the NFL is going to appeal. But if you were a Sunday Ticket subscriber to, you know, DirecTV, I don't know why it escapes me, DirecTV, in between the years of 2011 and 2018, you might be entitled to some money because they're paying out $4.7 billion. To the 2.4 million people who are currently entitled to it. So make sure you know if you're one of the 2.4 million. I don't know if you've already been notified if that's how it works, but apparently there are 2.4 million people who are entitled to 4.7 billion of the 14 billion that the NFL was found to be liable for. That's residential subscribers, fans who watched at home, not bars or restaurants. You could possibly get $3,000 to $5,000. The idea that the NFL is going to have to pay all 2.4 million fans $5,000 is hilarious to me. I love it. These greedy bums. Adding all these games and player safety, by the way, keep adding games. We love it. Except on Christmas Day. Now it's, you know, black. We already have Thanksgiving. We know that. Black Friday is going to be a game every year, which I guess doesn't bother me. That's fine. Christmas Day is the worst, though. I don't know how you could possibly. And I think they're going to put like a triple header on. It's not going to be just one game. We're going to play multiple games on Christmas Day? My God. I'm not going to be in Italy during Christmas, and I'm going to be watching football. She's going to hate me. I mean, enough. But yes, be on the lookout for those of you 2.4 million lucky people. You might get a check from the NFL. Unbelievable. Antitrust. lawsuit that they lost and has to pay $14 billion the NFL has to pay. They'll make it up with that's what you want to know why they have Christmas games? That's why. You want to know why they're doing deals with Netflix? That's why. That's why. Because they need to make up for this $14 billion loss they've been stealing from you. Were you a DirecTV subscriber in any of those years, Alex?
I don't believe so.
I could never get the dish. Everywhere I lived was never an option. I wanted to. And no, last year I did the YouTube. It was great.
Our building when I was a kid had, we all had the same one. And it was like a, it was a crappy one.
Right. Sure.
Yeah. And we never had, like, I've never had Verizon, never had DirecTV. Right now I have Spectrum. But I just, I don't have cable. I just use Apple TV.
You use Apple TV?
Yeah.
Yeah, they were trying to sell me on the YouTube TV when I was at that party at my, my cousin's house. They're big into the YouTube TV. The problem with me, I have Optimum in my house, and the problem really with is there are certain channels I need. So YouTube TV does not have MSG. I can't not have MSG.
Right.
And I don't, I mean, I don't really feel like paying whatever the money is for the app on top of the television, right? The MSG app, but I don't trust any of it with my putting that on the TV. I don't know. I need MSG. The only streaming service that has MSG on it is DirecTV, oddly enough. DirecTV streaming has MSG. So I guess I could do that if I want to cut the cord, but I don't know. This is, I'm not Alan. This isn't the morning show, the warm-up show. He's big on that. But it's getting to the point we got to do something. Okay, I mean, it's just getting more and more expensive. But so is everything. So is everything, that's for sure. 888, I'm going to Disney again. I'm dreading paying for gas. And someone actually asked me on Twitter about my favorite Disney parks. Right now, I'm telling you, I'm threatening you right now, I'm going to do it. 888-808-1019, save yourselves, because I'm going to do my favorite Disney parks. Prepare for it. I'm going in August. I'm going to tell you my favorite Disney parks. I'm not kidding. We'll go through the whole bit. Magic Kingdom has no food. Other than that, it's great. I'll go, you know, Tusker House. I'll tell you the whole bit if you don't. I'm threatening.